All right, welcome everybody to the August 15th, 2022 meeting of the Pacifica National Board Strategic Planning Committee. My name is Jim Dingman. I'm going to call the meeting to order. First, let's do the roll call. John?
Okay, good evening, everyone. James Dingman.
Here.
Heather Gray.
Here.
Hold on one sec, please. Donna Grimes, not here. Julie Hewitt.
Julie asked for an excuse.
Right. Julia Kennard.
Julia Kennard also asked for an excuse.
James McFadden.
Here.
James Sagerton.
Here.
Polina Vasilev. Beth Von Guten. Beth, can you hear us? Beth, you're muted. Beth is present.
Oh, she just raised her hand.
Do you hear me now?
Yes.
I was muted on your end. I was not muted on my end.
Yes, I asked you. Yep, that's possible. And then Susan Young.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
I'm here.
Chris Corey.
I am here.
Lyndon Foley. Okay, so that's the roll call. So people not in attendance tonight, Donna Grimes, Julie Hewitt, who asked for an excuse, Julia Kennard, who asked for to be excused, and Polina Vasilev.
All right, thank you. All right, we have quorum.
Recognized? James?
Yes, James.
Yeah, John, I think she pronounced, somebody else can correct me if I'm wrong, I think she pronounces her last name Vasilev.
Thank you.
No worry.
All right,
is that
you.
Correct, everybody else?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, James.
I appreciate that. I'm learning. So, yes, please correct if I'm not saying someone's name properly.
Okay, thank you. Do we have timekeepers? I think we agreed that we weren't going to do that, correct?
We don't need time.
Okay, fine. All right. And the next thing is the agenda. We have approval minutes. There's going to be a 3-minute report on the ad hoc working group. We're going to have discussion of underwriting policy for 60 minutes, new business for 5 minutes, move to adjourn for 1 minute. If there's any items for closed session, we can deal with that later. Any objections?
Can you make sure that we have a time certain of 10:30 for adjournment?
All right, no problem. Thank you.
The last time this meeting really went on for much too long.
All right, thank you, Alex. We'll do that.
Just to make it official, I move that we have a time certain of 10:30 to close the meeting.
Any objections?
Yeah.
All right, very good. Let's move on. All right, we have minutes that were circulated. John, what are those minutes?
Yes, I sent the minutes out earlier today. Do you want me to read them or does anyone need them read?
I move to approve the minutes. Any objections? Not hearing any. I move to the next item. This is the report of the ad hoc working group. Heather and I are involved with this. We will be having a meeting on Thursday with the affiliates, Director Ursula Runberg, and that will be the first of several meetings that will bring in music programmers from around the system and around Pacifica stations. All the GMs and PDs have been notified, and we'll be talking about getting what are the best practices to have music programming, what we can do to improve the ones we currently have, and that's about it. Heather, do you want to add anything to that? Heather?
My apology. No, I don't. Thank you.
All right. And, Heather, do you want to just make a brief comment about what you're all doing in terms of the news programming issue and all that?
Oh, well, yes, we're developing a lot of ideas on various, you know, like station-wide or country-wide news programming, actually. But we don't have anything definitive yet, but we've got a lot of really good ideas that we're working on. So I look forward to sharing more of that with folks as we move along on this. So thank you, Jim.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions about this from anybody?
I have one question.
Yes, James.
How are we, what was the question, the exact question you asked, Heather?
I asked her about how they've been doing in terms of developing. Remember, they were separately looking at news programming and news and, again, trying to reinforce the ability of the network to do that.
Oh, yes, okay.
Any questions or comments about that from anybody or any of these issues? Okay, hearing none, let's move to the next topic, which is underwriting, which we're devoting the most, the bulk of the meeting to. Let me first just explain, we've been working on a motion here on underwriting. A lot of people have been working on these motions for many years, and this is a synthesis of many different ideas, and I'm going to turn it over to Alex Steinberg. Alex?
Well, I guess what I'll do is I'll read the current draft of the motion we have, and if you want, I can do a little explanation.
Friday, July 8th.
Somebody is.
We'll host a potluck of thought.
Somebody has to mute themselves.
Here at the
Heather.
Heather, you got to mute yourself.
Bring a dick to share.
Heather, I'm going to mute you. Okay, I muted her.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I'll just read the motion and then I'll provide a little bit of explanation and background information about how we got here. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure. Go on.
Okay, so bear with me. The motion is a bit long. I'm not going to read the appendices, though. Okay, so this is a motion on restricted underwriting. Be it resolved that a pilot program be established for a restricted form of underwriting to proceed at all Pacifica stations wishing to opt into the program for a 12-month trial. Stations participating are required to adhere to the national policies and procedures for this program. A review of progress in implementing the program and its effectiveness shall be undertaken by the Pacifica National Board together with Pacifica Management after 6 months and after 12 months. This resolution will expire unless renewed after the trial period has ended. At the end of the 12-month review, the Pacifica National Board shall decide to either terminate the pilot program, continue it, modify it, or develop a different approach to underwriting. Pacifica stations are an integral part of the communities they serve and will strengthen those bonds by partnering with other community-based businesses and organizations. Our partners in underwriting will be nonprofit organizations whose missions are aligned with ours, local businesses, especially women and minority-owned businesses, public interest, and cultural institutions. For those stations opting into the program, all programs, day parts, or portions of our website may be considered for underwriting. Pacifica considers its values, programming, history, traditions, audiences, and reputation priceless. Our listeners and supporters expect us and organizations with whom we associate to uphold the highest levels of ethics in internal and external policies and practices. Stations in the program will accept underwriting based on the needs of the station, availability of airtime, website availability, and compatibility with our programming and mission. As a basic matter of policy, the station will not accept financial support from any entity whose business practices conflict with our mission statement and programming. Therefore, no agreement shall be entered into with any entity that has a record of being anti-labor, anti-environment, support for fossil fuels, promotes racism or sexism, militarism, nationalism, and xenophobia, or supports the abridgment of the rights of women to control their own bodies or the rights of the LGBTQ community for full equality or the rights of immigrants. It is the responsibility of each station participating in the pilot program to present a detailed plan for implementation and oversight of the underwriting program at their stations. The plan must include realistic estimates of administrative costs, for marketing, increased responsibilities for engineers, etc., as well as a realistic estimate of expected revenue. The detailed plan must be submitted to the National Finance Committee as part of their budget review within 30 days of the time they announce their intention to opt into the pilot program. To ensure editorial objectivity, the stations in the program shall exercise, the stations in the program shall exercise considerable care to maintain a barrier between all programming and fundraising efforts. While this distinction holds for both music and news public affairs program, it is especially critical for the latter. Consequently, we expect funders of news and public affairs programs to refrain from any attempt to influence editorial content. All editorial decisions are based on the judgment of local management of what is good journalism and not based on suggestions and agendas that further the interests of the funders, however legitimate those interests may be. The stations in the program shall discourage direct contact between funders and programming staff and volunteers. Contacts by funders must be made through the personnel delegated by local management to handle those affairs. Each underwriting agreement is subject to an evaluation period at the end of which either party may decide to terminate the agreement. A template for an underwriting contract is hereby provided. All underwriting agreements must use this template, and has a note, see Appendix A. Each underwriting contract shall be individually negotiated by the management of the local station. A schedule of fees shall be written into the contract. Premium rates will apply during drive time. Sponsors may select either a 10-second spot or a 20-second spot. No underwriting statement will be more than 20 seconds. All underwriting spots must be in compliance with FCC, CPB, and IRS regulations and the program requirements of the station. See Appendix B for FCC and IRS compliance guidelines. Station management is responsible for maintaining records of all underwriting spots. An underwriter may not dictate the content of programs. An underwriter may support an individual program or a category of programs, for instance, music and arts. Every underwriting agreement must be submitted to the executive director of Pacifica for review. That's the motion, and it follows two appendices, which I shall not read. One of the appendices is simply a template of an underwriting agreement. It's a very simple template, really nothing much to explain. And the other one are guidelines for underwriting compliance with FCC and IRS regulations. And they include such restrictions as you cannot promote a product, you have to be value neutral, you can't, as various things that are in FCC and IRS regulations. Not going to bother reading all that. Okay, so the floor is open for discussion. We've been fixing this up as we go along, and I said I'll say a little bit about the background here. We've been discussing underwriting as a possible revenue source for Pacifica, actually for a number of years. And I investigated many years ago, when I was on the board, like 12 years ago, I investigated some of the history of underwriting and how in the underwriting in the NPR universe has become more and more blatant and more like a commercial. And the latest twist was when a few years ago the FCC allowed something called enhanced underwriting, which means you can actually have up to 60 seconds of an underwriting spot, and you can provide all kinds of information about the underwriter, their website, their phone number, all this. The restrictions still apply, but you can do a lot more in identifying the underwriter than you used to be able to do. And it all sounds a lot more like a commercial than an underwriting spot if you listen to the NPR or PBS stations. We're not going to go that route. We're going to have a 20-second maximum. It'll be a very simple identification of the underwriter. We may include their website if you want more information, but basically we're just going to say that this program has been brought to you with the help of Broadway Meats or something, a local business in our listening area or something like that. And there's been I understand there's been some controversy about underwriting. People use there's the argument known as the salami tactic argument, that you slice one piece of salami and eventually you have to slice more of the salami and eventually you have to have the whole thing. And these are the kind of arguments that really don't make too much sense to me. We've got some pretty good built-in safeguards into this agreement. I'm pretty confident that we're not going to get into the business of corrupting our broadcasts with the content that an underwriter wants us to present. And I may add, by the way, that the same arguments that are being raised today against underwriting, those exact same arguments were being raised against accepting CPB funding 20 years ago. We did manage to, when we were able to get CPB funding, we did manage to do that for a while. It did not make any difference as far as the content of Pacifica's programming. I don't expect it will make any differences if we do underwriting either. Okay, floor is open for discussion.
James for the staff.
All right. Yeah, hold on. I see a whole bunch of folks. I should add that for the audience out there, the actual documents that Alex is referring to, they're actually at the University of Maryland in their archival collections. They talk about debates about CPB funding with these very arguments in the early 1980s. Let's start with Beth. Go on, Beth.
My hand isn't actually up. That was from when I was just trying to get unmuted to
see.
Thank you.
Okay, about that. All right, let's go with Jim.
Okay.
Yeah, go on. Jim McFadden. Sure, Jim McFadden.
Okay, I'm going to make a few. I just read through this, and I'm going to make a few suggestions. I don't know how to refer to it, but in let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th paragraph, the stations right there near the bottom there, stations in the program will accept underwriting based on needs of the station. This is really sounds really weird. I mean, would we decide to accept programming that we might not accept another station if that station was more in need of money? It just kind of read weird. I just was going to, so these suggestions are going to be things I think just will, are my suggestions to make the document. I'm not going to argue the positives and negatives yet. I just want to argue some issues about the document to make at least that it reads better. So I think that accept underwriting based on needs of the station is not, that shouldn't be a decision making, you know, it's whether the underwriting, is a valid underwriter.
Well, we already got that. That language is already in the document.
I know. I'm just saying this part reads for, Okay, so then the next thing I want to do is just a little bit farther down, and you have a list that includes anti-environment support for fossil fuels, and I'm going to just add a few more that just right off the top of my hat. I don't think we want to have ads for big pharma, for agribusiness, for real estate developers, or Wall Street.
And those are just okay. Give me the language.
Isn't there a prohibition against for-profit underwriters?
No, there isn't, because small businesses in towns.
I thought there was. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I'll type it into the chat. In just a minute. Let me continue on so we don't take too long here.
Go on, Jim.
If we go down to the next paragraph toward the bottom, it says detailed plans must be submitted to the National Finance Committee. And, okay, so you submit it, but like, where's the veto power in this? So who gets the decision power to say, no, you're not going to accept underwriting from this group? You know, I just don't see that language in
there. You're confusing things. The plans for the underwriting have to do with the financial plans that are going to the National Finance. They have nothing to do with which underwriter we are going to find acceptable or not acceptable.
Well, all I'm saying is that there needs to be, you know, who's going to make a decision whether an underwriter is acceptable or not acceptable? And is that power going to reside in the PNB? Is it going to reside in the National Finance Committee? Where is that going to reside?
If some program decides
that they can want this kind of underwriting.
It resides in local management, and number one, local management makes that decision, and number two, the final review takes place by the executive director.
So that PNB and the LSBs have no say in who is a valid underwriter?
That's correct.
Okay, that's not something I find unacceptable. Okay, so then I'm going to go down a little further.
Well, the PNB and the LSB have an indirect.
You got to fire the ED?
The PNB and LSB, do a performance evaluation of local management, and the PNB does one of national management. So in that sense, they have some influence on it. But
yeah,
they don't.
Yeah, that, I don't, I'm just saying I don't find that influence acceptable. So I'm going to go to the next point, and that is the station right in the middle of your page right there, the station in the program shall discourage direct contacts. Again, this seems like this is okay. You discourage it, but people do it anyway. There's no kind of teeth to really prevent that from happening. And you'd almost need wording that would say something, you know, to the effect of, direct contact is forbidden, you know, under penalty of dismissal. You almost need that kind of language, I think, if you want to really prevent that kind of influence. Otherwise, you know, it's going to happen. So those are my suggestions on this reading. And I'll type these into the chat while the next person is talking.
Well, in my opinion, that's a little harsh, but I think you can.
That's right. It is. Exactly. That's the point.
Well,
you want it to be so people don't do it. Otherwise, they will. If there's no penalty, then people are going to do it if they have a personal benefit from doing it.
I find that a bit extreme, but okay. We can certainly discuss it.
And we can go on to the next person. I'll try to type these into the chat.
Yeah.
Chris to the stack.
Okay, I'm the next one up.
Okay, let's
So let me say that James McFadden, I regarding needs of the station, to me what that meant was needs of the station to enter into underwriting or not. And additionally, needs of the station may be, as the kind of things that Heather has brought up, what the local businesses are that you want to feature. A major point that I wish to make is what Otis brought up, is that both Otis and Heather, that it is livelier program. programming, if we integrate, if we have integral to the programming, 30-second spots, whatever, about local businesses, about nonprofits, about foundations, about civic groups, that enlivens our programming. And Heather's point, it provides an important community involvement. Regarding the ED, we can, the PNB can request a report from the ED of what are the underwriting engagements that are being made. We need to have conversations, not draconian measures. This organization is put together by people who are so fearful of each other. I realize that there's a lot of bad blood, but I suggest that we right now have a good working relationship. Similarly, we will not fire programmers because they come up with ideas about underwriting. Our music programmers have an ongoing relationship with clubs, with the music industry, and so forth. We will not let them dictate, but we will not chop off their hands if they have conversations.
All right, that's it, Sue, for the time being? Okay, Chris, go on, Chris.
Okay, first of all, I'm going to withdraw my suggestion that the website, that website comment that I made earlier in the same paragraph that James was referring to should be stricken. I understand what they're talking about now in that paragraph. In fact, I think most of my objections to this document had to do with not hearing it in context. So I appreciate the document being read all the way through so I could develop an understanding, a better understanding of what the proposal is. That particular comment that I was thinking should be stricken just because I found it confusing before. It refers to the real estate that the virtual real estate that a station has. In other words, if they have, you know, that you don't want to overly crowd, your website with, sponsors because it just distracts from the mission of Pacifica and the mission of the station and the values of the local community. I think one of the most compelling arguments in favor of this proposal is one that Alex articulated about, it would have been at least 6 months ago, maybe a year ago now, and that's that small businesses are part of the fabric of the local community. They're not, you know, it's not, they're not separate from it. And I think there's kind of a historical tendency within Pacifica to treat them as if they're the enemy. But, you know, the bakeries and the mom and pop grocery stores and these people are, you know, they're contributing to the community in an important way, culturally, economically. I think the proposal prima facie makes sense if it allows those entities that are actually part of the community to contribute in a way that they're not contributing now and to receive some credit for that in cases where the relationship is basically collaborative between the local station and the local community and local businesses, I should say. So I'm liking how this proposal is laying out. I like the fact that it's voluntary. I did have one little question, and that's what is the process for opting in for the stations? I mean, I Alex, you alluded to this briefly, but it's just not sticking in my head. So if you could go over that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
You got on mute, Alex.
Sorry about that. We didn't outline a formal process. I think it would just be a matter of the local management saying they want to opt in.
That was kind of my impression as well. Is there specific language in the proposal for that? I think there is, actually.
I think we just say stations that wish to opt in.
May do so.
May do so. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. All right, Jim.
Thank you. I see a certain amount of vagueness in some of the clauses in the motion.
some of them pointed out by James, and while sort of retracted by Chris, he did point out where there was a little ambiguity when you read something out of context. So I'm hoping the author of this motion is listening and to these and making some notes. And generally you can solve these problems by spelling it out, and where we still have a disagreement, then we'll debate it. And, you know,
before you go on,
what's applicable.
I'm not making any notes. If we have suggestions to make to change it, just do it right now.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I heard some comments from James McFadden that were things that he felt were unacceptable at this, the way it was expressed.
Yeah. Well, I think that'll take a discussion. We'll get to that. But maybe
they're typed in the chat as well, so we can refer.
Yeah.
I agree. So we'll have that.
All right,
discussion. So if I could continue without being interrupted, please. I was gearing up. I was on a roll there, and now I'm going to have to struggle to regain my thought. I did want to say, generally, early on, I try to be open to different ideas. It's just my nature. I try to, you know, have an openness to hearing about things before I make a decision. I have always leaned against underwriting. You know, I do believe there's a slippery slope. However, I think, you know, it's clear in this motion that it's a temporary thing. It's got a sunset clause in it. We can reverse it in the future if we no longer need it. The impetus for this now is not some philosophical conversation. It is the financial condition that the network is in, which is dire. So I'm in favor of doing things that we might ordinarily have refrained from doing in other circumstances. I want to also credit Heather Gray for opening me up further to the idea of underwriting by explaining that it is part of the community. It's a way to support a part of the community that we hope is listening to us. I, you know, in discussing it in the past, have described the sponsors that I would hope we might be looking for, some of them anyway. Of course, some of them would be nonprofits, foundations, you know, issue-based organizations, you know, political groups, with opinions, you know, anti-war, peace movement, et cetera. Also what I call Three Sisters Organic Restaurant down the block. You know, I don't have a problem with engaging in, you know, the for-profit side of the world if they are somewhat, you know, in line, or, you know, more or less in line with our general philosophy. But so anyway, I don't know about the sausage analogy that, or the salami, but I know about the slippery slope. If it's similar to that, then I'm getting what you were saying, Alex. So I'm concerned about the slippery slope. I'm willing to try this as an experiment to see where it goes. I realize if, you know, we get addicted to some of this, it may not go away. So there may be a danger there, but the alternative to not looking for some new ideas right now, or, you know, revamping what we're doing, is going out of business. That's the, you know, there's nothing more I can think of that's worse than underwriting except going out of business. That is kind of where we are. So we need to think about changing our programming. We need to liven up our programming, make it more attractive to people, try to bring in a younger demographic, try to get online, all these things that we need to do. This is just one of them. And so I'm basically in favor of this. And I want to point out, finally, if we could scroll to, if you could scroll up on the screen, Jim, there's a point where we have some, we've added the word, I'm trying to scroll up, Jim, I'm not able to do
Alex,
it.
Alex is in control of that.
Okay, to where we, there's in red, we've entered a verb. There it is, hold on. No, keep going up. Up.
That's it. That's the top.
Okay. All right. Hold on. Oh, here it is. Just go up a little more.
Huh?
Scroll up. Scroll down. I'm sorry. Scroll down a little further.
Yeah.
Okay. Here it is. There's a sentence here in the paragraph that begins stations.
in the program will accept underwriting both based on the needs of the station. First of all, the needs of the station, that needs to be flushed out a little further, I think, was the comment, that it was a little vague. But going further down to the sentence that begins, therefore no agreement will be entered into with any entity that has a record of being anti-labor, anti-environment, and then support for or promotes. You need to have some verb agreement there. And I think the way to do it is to say entered into with any entity that has a record that is anti-labor, anti-environment, supports fossil fuels, put an S on supports, or promotes, and then the rest of it is okay. It's just a verb agreement problem there.
Supports anti-labor.
That is anti-labor. Forget
that. That is anti-labor, anti-environment, support.
Supports, put an S on that.
Fossil fuels. Promotes, okay. Yeah, that, I agree. That reads a lot better.
Good grammar. That's all right.
Yep.
That's it. Thank you.
Can I, quickly.
All right, Jim, finish? All right, well.
Can I respond? Yeah,
go on else.
I think it's the wrong approach to look at this as something we're reluctantly embracing, which, we have this huge financial crisis and maybe this could help us. I think we should have developed an underwriting program years ago. And I don't think we should be reluctantly embracing it. I mean, it is a way of partnering with the communities we're part of, and we can gain from that and they can gain from that. I think most of the reluctance, is not based on a real consideration of what Pacifica is about and nor has anybody who expresses this reluctance really taken the time to look at the experience of many of our affiliates. Most of them, I don't know about most of them, but a lot of them do underwriting. I don't think any of those affiliate stations have been corrupted by the fact that they're doing this kind of restricted underwriting to local businesses and cooperatives and nonprofits in their communities. So that would be my take on it. I don't think it's something we should think of as entering into reluctantly at all. I think it's something that we should be embracing.
All right, does anybody else
come back on that, Chair?
Yeah, go on, Jim.
Yeah, I just want to say that there is such a thing as a slippery slope, and we have to be careful how we do it. I understand it. What's the call sign of your station, Heather? WRG, what is it? WGR? Whatever it is, Heather's affiliate station we have in Atlanta, Georgia. She says that they do it. It works fine. You know, they don't have any difficulty with it. It's apparently a healthy source of their income stream. So, I hear what you're saying, but I do think there is a danger that we do have to be vigilant.
Well, I'm not saying there's no such thing as a slippery slope here, but I think we're well equipped to stop the sliding down the slope.
Exactly.
Put it like that. I mean, historically, underwriting is not the best way to finance stations if you believe in publicly supported broadcasting. The best way is the way it's done through the BBC, and that's through taxation. Public funding should be used to support public institutions. And we're not exactly a public institution, but there's no reason if we had a government policy to fund educational broadcasting, whether it's publicly affiliated or not,
then we wouldn't have to worry about underwriting. And that's why underwriting exists in this country, doesn't exist in the United Kingdom.
Okay, well, that, of course, opens up a huge can of worms.
Yeah, but I'm not going to buy into government support either at the moment, but I hear what you're saying.
I wanted to put in, before we go on, I wanted to put into the text here some language we're getting in the chat, and that is Jim McFadden's comments here. Do you see them, Alex, in the chat? Excluded groups should include big pharma, agribusiness, real estate developers, Wall Street. Do you see all that?
Let me bring it up. Hold on.
And then also, the station in the program shall discourage direct contact. Let's say blah, 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 blah. Oh, excluded conglomerates, multinational corporations. And then there's another comment that I think Chris brought. I just want to raise an issue. Alex will recall that about 14 or 15 years ago, there was a South Asian American senior vice president, Morgan Stanley, who called the WBAI and wanted to donate all his bonus to the station. I think it was $100,000 or $200,000, something like that. And I've listened to people in these debates about money complain about, well, isn't there some millionaire who come and give us money, like, you know, deal with all our problems? And I just wanted to throw that out there because that caused a huge furor, huge debate. The money was not taken. And, you know, hence $200,000, which could have helped, was not received because people felt it would be an undue influence. But then, of course, if people were asking for millionaires, let's say Stuart Mott in the past, who was a heir to the Ford Foundation, Ford Motor Company wealth, he was a big contributor to the New Left in the and progressive causes throughout the 60s and 70s, yet, you know, people didn't turn their back to take his money. So I'm just pointing that out as some of the contradictions about this issue that we all know. In any event, because I personally think if someone at Morgan Stanley wants to give us $100,000, hey, great, take it. As long as it's not tied to any kind of restrictions. That's my opinion.
But we're talking about underwriter. You know, we're not going to accept an underwriting spot from a Wall Street firm. That doesn't mean we won't accept a grant from somebody who's a senior vice president at a Wall Street firm or something like that.
Private donation.
Yeah.
Well, that was the whole point. They would not accept it, and it was ridiculous. I mean, I felt it was ridiculous. There was no.
Okay, but that's got nothing to do with the underwriting.
All right, fine.
Discussion.
All right. Well, people interpreted it as being a corporate influence, which I thought was not appropriate. All right. Anyway.
Okay.
So I added.
I'll go back on the stack. I added
James McFadden's a list of restrictions and try to change it to conform to the language we have. So I said that supports big pharma, supports agribusiness, supports real estate developers, supports Wall Street. Okay.
And you see Chris's comment here, we could add to the bottom of the exclusion list something like, or any other business whose values are deemed incompatible to the station or Pacifica. Chris puts that in there.
Okay. Let me, is that in the chat also?
Yeah, it's in the chat.
Yeah, it's towards the bottom, Alex. Yeah.
Go on, Jim. What were you going to say?
Just very quickly, I wanted to point out that, you know, in the quote unquote, instead of calling it the real world, I'll call it the other world, where this is done, such as in PBS broadcasts, NPR stations. The people who provide the underwriting view it the same way they view advertising. They're paying to get their message out to make themselves look good to a certain audience that they think will then go and buy their product. And we should just calm ourselves because, you know, I don't see the Ford Foundation, although they've donated, you know, they're supporting Democracy Now right now. It's not like I don't think
we're going to find General Motors or Toyota or, you know, Exxon coming to offer us underwriting. That's, I don't really think we have to worry about that too much because, first of all, they're looking for an audience and we don't have much of one. And second of all, they're looking for, you know, people that they can influence to, you know, help their bottom line. And we're not that either. So, I don't think that's the main concern.
I'm not finding that language that you say Chris added. I don't see it.
It's down there. It says, Chris, you want to chime in as to what you had put in there?
Yeah, Jim, sure.
I heard Beth in the background asking for the floor. Did I hear you, Beth?
Yes, thank you.
Hold on. Let Chris do this, then we'll get
that. I'll read it. It's really quick. Or any other business whose values are deemed incompatible to the station or Pacifica.
You want to put that at the very end of the statement?
Yeah, it's a catch-all. It might not be actually the most perfect catch-all, but it's the best one I could think of.
You got that, Alex?
Whose values are incompatible.
Deemed incompatible to the station or Pacifica.
And we're going to let the management people figure out what that is, I guess.
Exactly.
And that is kind of like management deciding what programs to put on the air.
It's exactly that.
We trust them to do that.
Yeah.
Beth, go on, Beth.
I wanted to add to that list, no nuclear.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Yeah.
No big tech.
Well, that's interesting.
For instance, no data predators. For instance, KPFK did accept ads at 120,000.
What is the restriction on nuclear? What do you want to say? Supports nuclear something?
Technology. Just call it as broadly as we can say it. There's a lot of interest out on this coast in trying to extend the life of the plants that are still here or come up with small modular plants. Right. So it's the big tech guys.
I can't imagine those people ever want to broadcast. Okay. What else?
I dropped the phone. Big tech. And I don't know whether we want to work with how to stipulate what kind of big tech we mean, but I'm thinking of data predators and
all right. Well, supports the technological invasion of our privacy or something like that.
Something like that, except that they claim that they don't. They all have privacy policies. KPFK accepted a grant from Google Ads for $120,000, and all it cost us was $2 a name, plus they got all our data. And that wasn't run past anybody, and that shouldn't happen again. I want to be sure that if there's anything like that in the works, we find out about it before the deal is done, because that's not okay.
All right. That's going to be interesting at the end of this. All right, who else wants to comment on this? I guess, John, you got to put everybody's hands down so we see who else is up here. Anybody else want to jump in on this? Heather, you have a comment? Otis, if you're there, you're more than welcome to jump in if you want.
I guess.